We can do without Jack, Merridew. There's others beside him on this island. But now we really got a beast, though I can't hardly believe it, we'll need to stay close to the platform. There'll be less need of him and his hunting. So now we can really decide on what's what. There's no help, Vicky. Nothing to be done. For a while they sat in depressed silence. Then Simon stood up and took the conch from Piggy, who was so astonished that he remained on his feet. Ralph looked up at Simon. "Simon, what is it this time?" A half sound of jeering ran round the circle, and Simon shrank from it. "I thought there might be something to do, something we..." Again the pressure of the assembly took his voice away. He sought for help and sympathy and chose Piggy. He turned half towards him, clutching the conch to his brown chest. "I think we ought to climb the mountain." The circle shivered with dread. Simon broke off and turned to Piggy, who was looking at him with an expression of derisive incomprehension. "What's the good of climbing up to this here beast when Ralph and the other two couldn't do nothing?" Simon whispered his answer. "What else is there to do?" His speech made, he allowed Piggy to lift the conch out of his hands. Then he retired and sat as far away from the others as possible. Piggy was speaking now with more assurance, and with what, if the circumstances had not been so serious, the others would have recognized as pleasure. "I said we could all do without a certain person. Now I say we got to decide on what can be done, and I think I could tell you what Ralph's going to say next. The most important thing on the island is the smoke, and you can't have no smoke without a fire." Ralph made a restless movement. "No go, Piggy, we got no fire. That thing sits up there, we'll have to stay here." Piggy lifted the conch as though to add power to his next words. "We got no fire on the mountain, but what's wrong with a fire down here? A fire could be built on them rocks, on the sand even. We'd make smoke just the same." "That's right, smoke, by the bathing pool." The boys began to babble. Only Piggy could have the intellectual daring to suggest moving the fire from the mountain. "So we'll have the fire down here," said Ralph. He looked about him. "We can build it just here, between the bathing pool and the platform. Of course..." He broke off, frowning, thinking the thing out, unconsciously tugging at the stub of a nail with his teeth. "Of course the smoke won't show so much, not be seen so far away, but we needn't go near the..." The others nodded in perfect comprehension. There would be no need to go near. "We'll build the fire now." The greatest ideas are the simplest. Now there was something to be done, they worked with passion. Piggy was so full of delight and expanding liberty in Jack's departure, so full of pride in his contribution to the good of society, that he helped to fetch wood. The wood he fetched was close at hand, a fallen tree on the platform that they did not need for the assembly. Yet to the others the sanctity of the platform had protected even what was useless there. Then the twins realized they would have a fire near them as a comfort in the night, and this set a few littlins dancing and clapping hands. The wood was not so dry as the fuel they had used on the mountain. Much of it was damply rotten and full of insects that scurried. Logs had to be lifted from the soil with care, or they crumbled into sodden powder. More than this, in order to avoid going deep into the forest, the boys worked near at hand on any fallen wood, no matter how tangled with new growth. The skirts of the forest and the scar were familiar, near the conch and the shelters, and sufficiently friendly in daylight. What they might become in darkness, nobody cared to think. They worked, therefore, with great energy and cheerfulness, though as time crept by, there was a suggestion of panic in the energy and hysteria in the cheerfulness. They built a pyramid of leaves and twigs, branches and logs, on the bare sand by the platform. For the first time on the island, Piggy himself removed his one glass, knelt down and focused the sun on tinder. And soon there was a ceiling of smoke and a bush of yellow flame. The Littlans, who had seen few fires since the first catastrophe, became wildly excited. They danced and sang, and there was a partyish air about the gathering. At last Ralph stopped work and stood up, smudging the sweat from his face with a dirty forearm. We'll have to have a small fire. This one's too big to keep up." Piggy sat down carefully on the sand and began to polish his glass. "We could experiment. We could find out how to make a small hot fire and then put green branches on to make smoke. Some of them leaves must be better for that than the others." As the fire died down, so did the excitement. The little uns stopped singing and dancing and drifted away towards the sea or the fruit trees or the shelters. Ralph flopped down in the sand. "We'll have to make a new list of who's to look after the fire. If you can find them." He looked round. Then, for the first time, he saw how few biggins there were and understood why the work had been so hard. "Where's Morris?" Piggy wiped his glass again. "I expect..." "No, he wouldn't go into the forest by himself, would he?" Ralph jumped up, ran swiftly round the fire and stood by Piggy, holding up his hair. "But we've got to have a list. There's you and me and Sam and Eric and..." He would not look at Piggy, but spoke casually. "Where's Bill and Roger?" Piggy leaned forward and put a fragment of wood on the fire. "I expect they've gone. I expect they won't play either." Ralph sat down and began to poke little holes in the sand. He was surprised to see that one had a drop of blood by it. He examined his bitten nail closely and watched the little globe of blood that gathered where the quick was gnawed away. Piggy went on speaking. "I seen them stealing off when we was gathering wood. They went that way, the same way as he went himself." Ralph finished his inspection and looked up into the air. The sky, as if in sympathy with the great changes among them, was different today, and so misty that in some places the hot air seemed white. The disk of the sun was dull silver, as though it were nearer and not so hot, yet the air stifled. "They always been making trouble, haven't they?" The voice came near his shoulder and sounded anxious. "We can do without 'em. We'll be happier now, won't we?" Ralph sat. The twins came, dragging a great log and grinning in their triumph. They dumped the log among the embers so that sparks flew. "We can do all right on our own, can't we?" For a long time, while the log dried, caught fire, and turned red hot, Ralph sat in the sand and said nothing. He did not see Piggy go to the twins and whisper with them, nor how the three boys went together into the forest. "Here you are." He came to himself with a jolt. Piggy and the other two were by him. They were laden with fruit. "I thought perhaps," said Piggy, "we ought to have a feast, kind of." The three boys sat down. They had a great mass of the fruit with them, and all of it properly ripe. They grinned at Ralph as he took some and began to eat. "Thanks," he said. Then, with an accent of pleased surprise, "Thanks." "Do all right on our own," said Piggy. "It's them that haven't no common sense that makes trouble on this island. We'll make a little hot fire." Ralph remembered what had been worrying him. "Where's Simon?" "I don't know." "You don't think he's climbing the mountain?" Piggy broke into noisy laughter and took more fruit. "He might be." He gulped his mouthful. "He's cracked."